This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho, and you're listening to the Shout It Out Loud cast. They're going to give you a reason to live, make you feel like you're the king of the mountain. And when it's all said and done, they're going to dance all over your face. Oh, yeah! We got some good-looking girls! Oh, yeah!
Oh, boy. Here we go. Oi.
This is James Simmons.
Put that cookie down.
Stop pressing the button.
Star Grover Simmons.
Star?
Paul Stanley.
Is that what he does?
Stop shouting.
Ace Bradley.
He's not what you would call a handsome man.
Oh, no. Here come the kiss times.
Is that a positive thing? Okay.
All right.
I'm going to grab me an ice cold mellow gallon.
Why? Why do that to the fan?
Stop it.
Why?
Because fuck him.
That's fine.
617-525-0. You do? Hey, fucko! Do you like
Kiss?
Settle down.
Hello. Hey, what's up there, Kiss Army? Tom and Zeus, another episode of Shout It Out Loudcast, episode 270, aptly titled David Ellefson. What's this one about?
David Ellefson. Yeah, no, another fantastic guest gushing about Kiss. And yeah, this episode is also going to have some other important news. Sometimes when we delay our episodes for scheduling reasons, it pays off. And I think this is one of those times where the delay paid off.
Yeah, that we went with episode on Thursday recording instead of Wednesday changed everything. So
indeed,
and we can work like that because we can always go on the fly. Yep. Anyway, Tom, last week we had the great Keith Roth on.
Yep.
And he was fucking awesome. His stories rocked. Great guy. And we did a poll. It's hard to do sometimes with these interviews to come up with a poll, so we thought, and why don't we talk about the type of episodes we have and see what you guys like?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Sometimes depending on the guest, it is hard to pick a poll with four options. So like Zeus said, we just came back with a question. We've asked it in the past, probably way back, but we said, why not throw it back out there for fun? What is your favorite types of episodes that we do? And the options were tour reviews, guests and their history, album reviews, or top 10 lists and drafts. So 40% of the people said that they like guests and their history. 35% said Kiss album reviews, 16% top 10 lists and drafts, 9% tour reviews. But we did get a couple of nice comments here. Stuart H says, bring back the quizzes and game shows, please. Oh, God.
I was calling about the ad for the game show lovers.
Yeah, game show lovers. What's a game show lover? What are you talking about, game show lover?
This is a nothing application for all TV game shows.
Yeah, well, that doesn't mean lover, right? It doesn't say lover.
Well, that's what it says in the ad.
No, it shouldn't say lover because I didn't print the word fucking lover. That sounds like pussy shit to me. What are you looking for?
Maybe. We haven't done that in a while. It's a good point. Our buddy Tom Dust, who we adore because he's the best. I voted option B, but we all know the best episodes all begin with a healthy S-I-O-L style tirade. And of course, he presents a gif of Scarface saying, I bury those cockroaches. Yes, that's exactly right. Conrad Pena says, although I had to choose one option, I enjoy all the topics you guys provide. Beach Boys are the GOAT. I pick the guests in Kistry, but I'd vote all the above. Mike also says, trick question. I like them all. That's what we like to hear. Our buddy Steve, gotta love them all, but it's always good to hear other people's views on our band, their favorites, and how they got into KISS. Yes, that's always fun and good timing because that's what we have this week. And let's see what people thought about the episode itself. Keith was fantastic. It was great to really kind of shoot the shit with him. Justin Steele, he's my brother from another mother, LOL. Philip Schreiber, great episode with Keith. Yeah, a lot of people had a lot of fun with this, especially the SiriusXM subscribers. So that's some quick stuff with Twitter there, Zeus. What do you got on the Book of Face this week?
All right. So on the Book of Face, here's a fun name from the past.
Uh-oh.
Courtney Cronin, Rodham Clinton.
Ramaswamy.
Ramaswamy Nimrata.
I was waiting for that.
Yeah, I don't know. Michael fucking Ryan Scott Cook. Keith is the best. Can't wait to hear this one. Oh, yep. They're always on the cruise together.
Yep.
The Dork Cruise.
It's the Mork Cruise, Zeus. How dare you?
Oh, yeah. Kevon Japson.
Uh-oh.
Giggity, 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 giggity.
That kid. What?
He's got fucking problems. He's got.
Did he comment? It's 3:30 in the morning.
He's got fucking problems. You need an intervention. I try to tell him this all the time. He's a fucking disaster. Anyway,
that's why he listens to us.
Yeah. Keith rules. Man, that A story with his car and his house was fucking hilarious. I absolutely agree with you. Kevon.
Let me interject very quickly here. So our buddy LP Sterlino on Loudcasters found a picture of a car accident where the car drove into the front of someone's house. And of course, because Sterlino's great, he captioned it with, you know, something like, how did Richie Blackmore not notice this? And Ace, whatever. I'm not going to name the name, but somebody.
Oh, your buddy.
Yeah, my buddy commented, please explain. Okay, first of all, that's not how a Facebook group operates. Please explain. So thankfully.
He was polite, Tom.
Fuck off. Thankfully, somebody responded and said, listen to the episode or you're not going to really enjoy yourself in this group too much. Thank you for all parties involved.
Yeah, that was done by Joey Stubbles. Don't call me Ray Romano. Romanek and his new realty conglomerate. Fraley Romanek and fucking Caserta.
I know Joey Caserta.
Rock and Roll Realty. One guy has pressed jeans, the other one has ripped chachi jeans.
Buy this, and we'll send a Dangerous Toys cover band to do their fifth album Unplugged on your doorstep.
First of all, you can't even send them the real Dangerous Toys. You're going to send them a cover band?
The second
prize is the real Dangerous Toys. The first prize is the cover band.
Maybe the cover band knows some other songs. That's the whole thing, right?
Anyways, I'm sorry. Go ahead. This is what happens. We go on a detour.
We're going to stop here real quick because we are going to. I'll wait. I'll finish this.
Okay.
And then I'll move on. Roy Jordan. Okay. These interviews are always great. Aussie's Boneyard and Hair Nation are the only reason I have SiriusXM still. And Busted Open, of course. Yeah. All friends of the show. That's what we love seeing.
Yep.
Brett Roscoe, that was a great episode, guys. Went off on a lot of tangents. That showed how excited you were to talk about your favorite music and bands. I come from a small town in England. Hi. Hello, Governor. That's just fucking brutal. So conversations like this have been few and far between. This show makes me feel I have allies out there. All the best, TNZ. Always looking forward to the next one. You do have allies, Brett. Feel free to come and hang out with us.
Yeah, thanks, buddy. Appreciate it.
Yeah. And so we're going to go over to Loudcasters. And there was a little change on Loudcasters. That's what I want to get to.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so we're trying to have some kind of quality control on Facebook, which we know is kind of impossible. But for 5 years or so, Shout Out Loudcasters, the Facebook group, has been a public group. And if you're not familiar with public and private groups on Facebook, a public group means it'll show up in your Facebook feed, even if you're not part of the group. So, for example, if you are in Shout It Out Loudcasters, and let's say your mom is not, and you comment, scrolling through, she'll see it. Okay, not a big deal. But what happens is people who hate Kiss or who laugh at Kiss or who troll Kiss can see it and jump in. And we were getting bombarded with post approval, comment approval, people who were just jumping in and just shitting on the band, and people would be like, I don't even know why I'm seeing this fucking group. I can't stand Kiss, et cetera, et cetera. It started to get off the rails, and we changed it to private. Now, the thing about that is we cannot go back. It's private forever now. And what that means is still need membership approval with the, you know, you have to answer the questions, agree to the rules, et cetera, et cetera. So we're hoping, we've noticed, it's only been a few days, but we have noticed, other than denying terrorists to become members of the group.
Members of the terror watch list. That's the only people that fucking signing up these days.
But we're noticing that the groups, it's only a few days, but it doesn't seem as bad so far. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. I hope this gets cleans out some stuff. Have some fun, guys. The group is there so we can enjoy the shit. It's just, it seems so exhausting being like with some of you people on here and just that don't have a sense of humor or think you have a sense of humor. And it's just,
which might be worse. That might be worse than not having a sense of humor.
Fucking amount of dad jokes and stupid humor or gimmick shit or people that have to be in character. Just be your fucking self. It gets so exhausting and tiring. Oh, no, I have to be the curmudgeon on every fucking post. Or I have to think, oh, this sucks. Or just fucking be normal. Is that possible?
No, no. And another thing, too, if you noticed, especially with the big breaking news with Kiss, we are going to decline posts that are duplicate. We're not going to have 17 people posting the same article on the same topic or 25 people posting the same picture of Paul Stanley with a fucking cowboy hat on. We're not doing those are going to get declined. Not because we do not want our group to have the exact same thing over and over and over.
It's watered down.
I mean, if you post something and it hasn't been posted, fantastic. Great. It'll be approved, but we don't want 17 or 25 or 50 of the same thing. And that happened today with the breaking news. We appreciate the excitement and the enthusiasm, but we don't want the group flooded with duplications of stories and pictures.
Yeah. And that's the problem that I find that some of this stuff has on the group. It's like, I can't see anything anymore because I got to fucking scroll forever. Mm-hmm. To see, because it's filled up with stuff. And I'm sorry, I know you guys may not like this, but stuff that I'm just like, this is stupid. I don't like it. Fuck it. No.
Well, not only that.
Like,
and again,
this isn't funny. And, like, this is dumb. Like,
and now I'm going to be the curmudgeon. I don't need to see a picture of, you know, Paul from the Love Gun tour. Make something exciting or something that's going to engage conversation.
Point something out. Oh, this is the concert where Paul forgot his boots, so he had to put on the boots from Hotter Than Hell or something. Fucking put something out there, but I don't need 50 photos.
Yeah, it's not a photo album page. So it's just not.
We want interaction. We do.
Exactly.
And we want normal interaction. And what we
that's
mean by
happen.
That is...
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
What we mean is like, yes, Crazy Nights gets a lot of shit, but I think it's better than fucking Asylum. Oh, like, have debates. Go nuts. We don't have to agree with your debates or your side.
Somebody had a great post the other day. Forgive me for not remembering who posted it. A simple thing like, hey, I was on my way to work and I heard this song and I thought to myself, this is like a perfect Kiss song. And then everybody started chiming in, having a discussion. I think this, like, that's the fun kind of stuff. Not like, here's a picture of Peter Criss with his drum set. Like, I don't know, whatever.
I don't know. I like some of the stuff, like, but it's got to be funny. And I'm sorry. I
well, it doesn't even need to necessarily be funny. It needs to have something.
I should have rephrased that. When you try to put up posts that you're trying to like make people laugh, it's got to make me or Tom laugh.
And if
it doesn't,
if it doesn't, we'll tell you.
Yeah, it's like the Gong Show here. Sorry, didn't make it. Didn't make the cut. Sorry.
The unknown comedian. Yeah. We don't need all you people. We don't need you all with fucking paper bags. Is that,
that's what it was, right? The guy with the paper bag.
Yeah, the unknown comedian.
Denied.
Yeah, exactly. Anyways.
All right. Over on Loudcasters, this is what got brought up. Joey fucking Romano. And on a serious point, buddy, our hearts go out to you and condolences.
Oh my God. Absolutely.
But please, I don't want to see any more of that shit. Cause it fucking depresses the shit out of me.
Me too.
It's fucking, I'd rather fucking hear about people's parents dying than seeing their pet die.
Oh,
bless.
I agree. Especially when I read those posts and I'm sitting next to my own dog. So
yeah, it just breaks my heart for you and your wife. We love you guys and in all seriousness. Now let's go back to shitting on you. Joey put, stay tuned for the next episode, HGTV's Rock and Roll Real Estate. While Ace stops by Walmart to pick up a case of Mellow Yellow, the two Joeys sell Pepe Castro's house to Charlie Benante. Charlie ain't buying that shithole. drama ensues when Ace takes all the credit for the sale, even though he missed the whole transaction while waiting for AAA to tow his Bentley out of a ditch. When Lara calls them all haters on social media, is the partnership of Romanek, Caserta, and Fraley in jeopardy? Tune in to find out.
Wow, good pitch, Joey. I like it. I'm on board.
The great John Whiteman says, throwing Ace shit in his pants and you've got an Emmy winner. And yes, you have to listen to the episode previously to understand what the hell all this is about. But anyway, that's what I have on Loudcasters. Let's go over to YouTube. Commonwealth Music says, Brother Keith, one of the best souls in the business. And he signs it with Christian. Mark Cole, drum teacher, says, I am in disbelief that this episode ended up giving a shout out to one of my favorite Led Zeppelin tracks, Hots On for Nowhere.
Yes.
And I'm going to say, save it for when we review Presence on the Zeppelin Chronicles.
We got to get through Physical Graffiti first, which will be coming sooner than later because I can't wait.
Yep. It also happens to be one of my favorite Bonham tracks. So now I'm calculating how many years until you get to Presence. Oh, man. And the great, I'll end with this. The great Marty White has a fucking limerick or something, but it's pretty long, Marty. People should go check it out. It's on our YouTube page. It is quite funny, but time being of the essence, Tom, turning it over to you.
Okay, let's get to a couple of Instagram comments here. Again, I don't know how to pronounce this, but it's JL Dammy Giants. I don't know. I'm sorry, man. It's all these letters pushed together. So
Gina?
Yeah, Gina. Guys, love the interview with Keith Roth. I agree with the conversation about guilty pleasures. You should like what you like. No apology needed. I, for instance, like all the Kiss albums, but my favorite are the stuff that Vinnie Poncia produced. Unmasked being my favorite. My favorite members were always Vinnie, Vincent, and Eric Carr, which are both tattooed on my chest along with the other members of that era in full makeup. Zeus, you aren't the only Eagles and Kiss fan. I have many of their albums on vinyl. Oh, okay.
That's a rarity, but Vinnie Poncia. Oh, sorry, brother. Not a fan.
And then we got one from Junior Vintage. I have to agree with Keith and Tom that Alive 2 is also my go-to Kiss live album of all time, similar to when comparing Godfather 1 and 2. Both are fantastic, but Godfather 2 just pulls at the Hyman Roth heartstrings a little more. I'm going in to take a nap. When I wake, if the money's on the table, I'll know I have a partner. If it isn't, I'll know I don't. Now, eat your cake. And that's what we got for Instagram. And let's blow through a few emails here. Our buddy Rudy Doth sent us a Ace review from the Rutland, Vermont show. We've heard some good things. We saw some videos. We talked to some people. Ace kind of tightened up his act a little bit. So that was nice to see. Let's see here. Scott Greer. Great episode. The idea of Ace selling real estate is hilarious. When Keith said Freely's Realty, I laughed out loud. Keep the great guests coming. And then we got a great one from our buddy West Beach who chimed in, and he was giving us some shit about Tiger Tales. Wes, we love you, buddy, but just stop. And he was also waving the flag for the Dictators. He's a big fan of them, and of course, Wes has kind of a punk background himself. So cool stuff. That's what we got for emails.
And Tom, we're going to go back to our Facebook post, and this is from Carl Kremelemeyer. I hope I'm saying it correctly.
Is he related to Billy Berbader?
I don't know. Kremelemeyer.
Okay.
All right. So Carl says, this was an excellent hearing the boys riff on references with Keith. I'm not a metal purist, so it was great to hear more esoteric points that veered toward my wheelhouse.
We don't use words like that on this show.
Yeah. Dictators, OGs all the way. Dust, Beyond the Kiss Connection, and Marky Ramone on drums lies a hard rock proto metal behemoth. Jellyfish, maybe the last great power pop band. All the classic era pop instruments from Brian Wilson to the Babies packed in just a few albums. My Wife, if you know, you know. Rest in peace, The Ox. Pretty Things, SF Sorrow, top 10 psychedelia of all time, recorded at the Abbey Road, the same era as Piper at the Gates of Dawn and Sgt. Pepper. This is literally on my turntable last night. Good luck getting an OG copy. That will set you back more than a Creature's vinyl box. The passion and enthusiasm for music is why I connected to Shout Out Loudcast. And congrats, Tom and Zeus, for another great conversation that truly resonated with me. For real, though, check out SF Sorrow and the follow-up, Parachute. Straight classics lurking just a bit deeper inside the ride. Well, Carl, because you pay attention to all the little details and nuances from the episode, and plus you give kudos to things you like and you mention them specifically and give examples, and because you give us some nice compliments, buddy, you, my friend, are the new comment of the week.
Good answer. Good answer. Like the way you think. I'm going to be watching you.
Yeah, that's incredible. We love stuff like that. Digging real deep into the references from the show, telling us about how you're connected to some of these bands that were referenced. And of course, we're always very grateful for the kind words that you say. So thanks, man. That's great. Love that. Love hearing that kind of stuff.
Tom, what we do next is we give a big shout out to Patreon. Patreon is where people can subscribe and help out the show. And with that, we give you guys back some merch. We give you some involvement in the show. We do video chats. We do sneak peeks, polls. We have our own little thread and comments going on and message boards. It's a ton of fun. And our group is well over 100 people, and it's just been fantastic. We appreciate the support, and that's why we've been getting incredible guests these days. And no, the money doesn't go to pay for these guests, but it gives us better format, better equipment, and it helps entice other people to come on to the show and give you guys the better product. Your help, your contribution allows us to put the time and effort and the work into this podcast. And we appreciate your support, and we appreciate it so much that we want to give something back. That's why we have the four tiers with four different perks that you get back. But if you want to help the show and you want us to continue, things like joining Patreon is the best way to help and support us. Thank you to all the Patreon family members. And thank you for anybody who wants to support Shout It Out Loudcast.
Guys, thank you so much for everything. And one of the things that our Patreons were important in putting together is the current album review crew Song Madness Tournament. We're dead in the middle of that right now. At the time of this recording, we're in the middle of the second round. No real upsets yet. but I have a feeling things are going to get very interesting and pretty damn tight as we start to get to the Sweet 16, et cetera. It's a lot of fun, and that's just one of the things that you guys are involved in. Of course, the album review crew selections that we do. I actually have the album for the month of April. Stay tuned for that. But of course, check us out at patreon.com or click on the Patreon link on our website, shoutoutloudcast.com, to get all the information about becoming part of our amazing Patreon family.
And we want to thank especially our ARC Song Madness partners, and that is Gene Simmons Soda, the guys over there, John, Paul, and Chris, and obviously Gene Simmons, for supporting us and being a sponsor once again. Guys, go over to Gene Simmons Soda. The stuff is fucking fantastic. You'll
oh my God.
It.
It's a, I'm not a big soda guy. I'll openly admit that, but this stuff, because it's not made with junk.
Yeah.
It's incredible. It's so good.
Cold, nice bottle. And it's like,
yeah,
you know, for us Kiss nerds, it's fucking like collector's shit too. The bottles are great. The caps.
That's the other thing. The bottles are amazing.
Yeah. So, yeah, support our sponsors. Tom, what we do next is go to Kiss World. Nothing going on there this week. Yeah, so before we get to the big news, let's get out some of the little things. Ace is on tour, as we were saying. Sounds like his act is a lot better. We know friends that watched him and saw him up close. Joey Zaza, Casada, too. They all saw him. And from what I'm hearing, he is a lot more lucid, more animated, more involved, more active on stage. He sounds a little better. He's playing better. He's having fun. Fuck. Just what we needed.
Yeah, exactly. Love it. Love to see it. Love to see it. I mean, for all the people that think we don't like Ace, we love Ace, and we always want one of the legends to do well. So glad to see that.
Yeah. And then next, our buddy Paul, Tone Deaf, is out vacationing in Dubai of all places, but now he's back. And he's putting up all sorts of photos of him on their cowboy hat, him on a balcony. Just at least he's smiling somewhat this time.
The picture, every once in a while, comes along a picture or a post on Loudcasters. It was the Vinnie Vincent with the turd in the toilet. That was a big one. But every once in a while, a post comes along that just consumes Loudcasters for days and days and days. The picture that I posted from Paul's Twitter of him with the cowboy hat on, with either his hair pulled back or his wig off, whatever the hell he was doing. Absolutely, people lost their ever loving minds. Like insanity. Okay, right here. Over 2,000 likes, over 600 comments, and over a 250,000 post reach on a picture of him looking like an absolute bozo.
I know it didn't break the record of the fucking giant with some Samantha Fox.
Oh, remember God, that one.
Remember that
yes,
one?
Not even fucking Kiss related.
But I don't even think that one broke. I mean, I still think the Vinny turd one is the biggest.
But the funny thing was that like maybe 80% of the comments, I don't understand the problem. Why is this funny? Why are you guys laughing? This is funny. I said to one guy, I go, you know what's funny? You're now funny for not thinking this is funny.
Just people.
Anyways, that's Paul being a bozo, whatever.
Yeah. And then you got the other story, which was, you know, it's funny because we got a little bit of a sneak peek on that. Because our buddy Desmond Child told us that JoJo Siwa was going to come out with all like a Miley Cyrus from Hannah Montana kind of popping out of the cocoon kind of image thing, singing this song that he wrote.
That's right.
Called like Karma or something. What was it called?
I have no idea what it is.
I have no idea. And then she comes on the red carpet of some event and she's got what looks like Gene Simmons makeup on. Demon.
Yeah,
makeup.
And Gene commented on it. He thought it was great. He acknowledged it because everyone's like, oh, fucking Kiss. What's Gene? Gene's like, fucking, girl.
Yeah. And then I think he said something. Yeah. And she is comping me.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
But, you know, he had some fun with it and he loves that shit, you know? So good for her. Good for him. And more pub for Kiss. And so now Tom, want to share some news?
Yeah. So this has been going on for, there's been a lot of discussions about this all the way back before the final shows at Madison Square Garden, when word got out that there was going to be a delay with the Off the Soundboard releases, box sets, you know, the disappointment in the 50th anniversary of the debut album, no box set. It's been official that Kiss has sold their catalog, their name, their logo, and their makeup rights for an estimated $300 million to the Swedish company Pop House Entertainment Group, which is the same group that is behind ABBA's live Avatar show. According to Fortune magazine, the band is being paid over $300 million by the Swedish company, who plan to use the same technology to launch a Kiss Avatar. Gene Simmons said, quote, "Kiss, the touring band, is over. What Pop House will do with our images, our music, and our personas is unlike anything anyone has ever seen." The Pop House CEO says, "We have a lot of plans for Kiss. We want to keep their legacy. We want to extend and amplify it. And this deal also includes Kiss's share of the publishing and master recordings of the band's music catalog." Now, this does not have anything to do with what Universal owns, apparently, which I think is where the problem with the box sets were, because apparently Universal owns the proper catalog and Kiss owned like the demos and the outtakes, which were part of the Creatures and Destroyers box set. In order to have made those box sets continue, you would have needed both the agreements of Paul and Gene and of Universal. And because Paul and Gene were in negotiations selling those things, reportedly, that's why all of these Off the Soundboard and box sets are on hold, because of these negotiations. Now that Pop House has all that, the belief is that these things may be able to get back on track because that transaction is now complete. Gene is acknowledging that this is a, quote, collaboration, that Kiss has not been, you know, absorbed by Pop House. But I'm going to just kind of use an analogy. To me, it's kind of like when George Lucas sold Star Wars to the Disney Corp, and Disney then had their way of single-handedly destroying Star Wars with terrible shows on Disney Plus and shit-ass movies. I pray that this does not happen with Kiss.
All right. So one of the other parts is Kiss owns, like, I think still 2% or something of the music. So yep. I think if you listen to, actually, I'll give kudos to Mike Brun. He had a nice interview with Doc.
That was great. Yep. Mike always does a good job.
And so I think when he said something like Sonic Boom and Monster, Doc had said something like, they still own those because that came back to them. So I think that's theirs. So the last two albums are theirs. So that's why 98% of all their other stuff is Universal. So when they sold all this stuff, so you'll hear people say, oh, that's all they got? Well, that's a ton of money. Guys, they didn't sell the music to them. Correct. Universal still has that.
That's right.
They sold the image. They sold the fucking IP. They sold what music percentage they sold
the logo, I believe. They sold everything. When we say IP, intellectual property, they can't wear the makeup now. They can't use that. Look, Pop House has all that now.
So what I believe will happen is, I think there'll be times where they'll get paid as Kiss to put on the makeup and perform again at some point. So, you know, they're like, oh, we're not allowed to. Great. I know you're not allowed to. Fucking, if Pop House wants to make money, why wouldn't they support, just pay you millions of dollars to do Kiss Vegas residency and you'll get paid as such? Or if you want to go on the Kiss cruise and perform on the thing, get paid. And then what do you call it? Gets a percentage of the Kiss cruise, because they can't be Gene and Paul's anymore. So why wouldn't they do Kiss cruises anymore? Hey, Gene and Paul, now you don't have to worry about the details. We're going to do it. We'll tell you what you need to do. Here's your money. That's all that matters.
It's a good example. Well, I take that back. It might not be a good example. It's an example that I'll use in my head. Say you own a piece of property. Say you own a lakeside cottage. You own it. And you don't feel like going through the hassle of renting it and taking care of maintenance and everything. So you know what? You're going to take this piece of property and hand over, maybe not all of it, but some of it, to a company that is going to manage it for you. They're going to take a lot of this money. Now, again, this deal with Pop House is a lot bigger than the example I'm giving you. But like Zeus said, it's now Pop House is going to run and operate everything, everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that your analogy hopefully is accurate and that this does happen, that Kiss can go on a cruise and put the logo on and they can sell merch and have the logo up there with Pop House. Kiss Cruise,
yeah, they have to, yeah.
It'll be Kiss Cruise sponsored by Pop House.
So here's the thing. I believe, and I could be incorrect because this is all new and happening today.
It just happened today.
It's almost like Ace and Peter, you're in the band. We're paying you as a paid member.
Correct.
You're not, you don't have any ownership of this, but right. You're a paid member of the group. Eric and Tommy.
You're a contract.
It's not part of the Kiss company, but they're a contract player. Hey, Kiss. Paul and Gene, Tommy and Eric, will you do this? Will you open up the Super Bowl and we'll pay you and we'll make money and we'll give you each $1 million? Now, right. The Super Bowl for that company, they're looking at it as like, yeah, we may break even. But now Kiss just played. Now people are going to listen to their music. Now people are going to buy their stuff. They're still active. They're still in the consciousness of the public. That helps. So there, I still think there is nothing, okay, off the table. So all this, oh, they can't do, they'll never be able to pull. Paul and Gene can't wink at each other anymore. They're not allowed. Oh, Kiss is banned. Kiss can do anything they fucking want. There's enough freedom in there that Gene and Paul felt comfortable enough to be like, because he keeps saying partners, we're partners. We wouldn't have sold this to anybody else. And it sounds like they're very generally happy with the company they're invested with. And they're going to be dude, Gene's a fucking, he knows what he wants. And they'd be stupid to be like, oh yeah, fuck you guys. We're doing Kiss the porn fucking analogy.
Right. Right.
You know, they're not going to, I believe they still will have some sort of vocal rights or something to say something or to have an input of some sort. But yeah, you sold it. It's gone. And if we want you to do something again, we'll pay you for that. So Gene can go out and play that stuff. But guess what, Gene? Now, when you go on your tour, you're paying to pay those Kiss songs.
Correct.
You don't owe them anymore.
Yep.
Okay. So there's a whole thing about now. Then again, he didn't own them before either because he's Universal, but you get my.
I'm anxious to see how this is going to work. And again, this is all happening in real time. And we're not business law experts and every, you know, we don't have the friggin' legal agreements in front of us, but I'm anxious to see how this is going to affect what goes on with kissonline.com with the merch. With the license thing, with the box sets, with the because we've been told, again, I said it, this is the beginning of the conversation, that the reason the box sets and off the soundboards were on hold was because of this pending deal. Now that the deal has been done, hopefully these things will come to fruition. Now, the interesting thing to me was the amount of people that were kind of like not happy about this. That kind of took me aback a little bit. The people were like, you know, I mean, we comment, you know, it's official. What are your thoughts? Everybody kind of did the same thing on social media. I was really taken aback at people that were like, I mean, somebody did bring up a good point about like, oh, great. I hope they don't do to Kiss what they did to Star Wars. Kind of like I just said a few minutes ago.
I don't know what you're talking about. I have no problem with Disney did. I may not like certain movies, but then again, I thought that George Lucas was involved when they did the first trilogy, when they did the first three, episode 1 through 3,
the prequel,
he was involved.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was involved. It made no difference. People are still pissed. People just fucking love to hate. So regardless.
Oh, absolutely. Of course. Of course. No, I know. But I think it's going to be interesting. And to me, as a Kiss fan, at the risk of sounding like a complete Kiss tard, I think it's kind of exciting because now we don't know what's going to happen. It kind of keeps Kiss fans involved and excited. I mean, does this mean something new and exciting, something different, something I don't know. All I know is that it keeps us as Kiss fans for being bored, which I think is kind of unique.
Yeah, I can't wait to see what's going to happen. But again, you get it all over the social media. I had some people like, oh, that's all they got. Kiss is stupid. Kiss is a... I'm like, buddy, if you look at the comps, Bob Dylan sold all his music. Bob Dylan, whose lyrics and music are quoted by more fucking baby boomers and dorks than any fucking musician probably in history.
Yep.
And his got sold, right, for $300. The same, okay?
Yeah.
Kiss sold more than most people. The only one I saw really that sold more was Springsteen, 550. And the other thing I find fascinating is like people like Justin Bieber sold his for like 150 or 200 or whatever. Like Justin Bieber's not going to stop performing. He's still going to perform. He's still going to make a ton of money. Like, it doesn't mean that's it. I'm done. I can't do any acts. I'm out of the picture now. You own everything. I'm your robot. Like, no. I have a feeling Gene and Paul are going to fucking still do their stuff. But now they can throw out ideas and spend other people's money, which is what Gene loves to do.
Correct. Yeah. I think it's exciting. I mean, and I think you guys have listened to the show long enough that if something is stupid or something sucks, we're going to tell you. I don't think this sucks. I think this has the potential to open up different things for us Kiss dorks. And to me, that's always good.
And the other aspect of it is I think Gene and Paul weren't going to spend any more of their monies to do anything cool. I really don't.
Right.
Now they can come up with ideas because I think Gene and Paul will spitfire a bunch of shit because other people are paying for it.
One thing I do want to bring up, Zeus, and I know that we got involved with some back and forth on social media. Somebody's going to have to talk to me like I'm stupid and explain to me how this ending sale had anything to do with not bringing up former members of the band on the final.
Oh, no. I know. One of our good listeners, I don't know.
Other people were talking about it too. Yes. I saw some on Facebook.
Saying, oh, so now we know why. What do you mean, know why? What did that have to do with it not saying people? We were fucking there. People were not upset on the avatars per se. If Kiss came out and did a video, Paul and Gene spoke from the heart, gave fucking love to Eric
and
Carr,
then did the app,
and
right.
Mark St. John. Kudos to Ace and Peter for creating this and doing all this stuff. And we love you and we can't wait. Thank you for giving us 50 fucking years. And then the avatars came out. People are like, all right, cool. Let's see what happens.
Right.
And that's what would have happened. It's nothing to do with fucking that. Now it even proves the point a little further that obviously the new company was like, dude, we got to hit. I'm sorry. We want to get this in front of all eyes that are on you. It's a great marketing. We need them.
Smart business.
Know. Exactly. They
smart,
did it.
It's yep.
But that's on Paul and Gene now to fucking bring up the other stuff about saying goodbye and all that other shit properly.
Correct. But I'll just end with this. Again, kudos to Mike Brunn for his interview with Doc. Doc said that it was his idea to do the avatars at the end, and that now again, I know Doc's a salesman, he's a manager, he's an entertainment guy, that they didn't want to bring out former members because this isn't the end of Kiss. Kiss is going to continue, which I call bullshit on, because if it was, then why'd you call the tour the end of the road?
Yeah, I know. I know how you feel about this. And I just disagree. I know that you think that like Doc is a salesman, but Doc said something along the lines like, well, we're going to have those kind of tributes when we do the documentary, when we do the mini series, when we those things, that can be a tribute to them. And, you know,
but my question
the place for it. I'm like, you're fucking wrong. You're taking the hit for the team, which he usually never does.
My response to that would be, why is it okay to do a dedication to former members on some Netflix documentary, but not on the final time you guys take the stage? If you're going to do it in the right place.
Exactly. But I mean, I'm sure he's not going to fucking get into a fucking shouting match with the guy because sound correct. Yeah, I agree.
No, of course not. Of course not. But that's why I call bullshit, but that's okay. It's whatever. It's fine.
All right, Tom, before we get to the interview with David Ellefson, let's take a quick, short little break and we'll be right back. Oh, hey, where's my chick? Ain't I getting any money for these avatars? I heard we all made out like a fucking bandit.
Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here. Another day, another podcast I'm working on. This time, it's Famous and Gravy with Amit and Michael. I want to let you know that I loved the Factor Meals package so much that I re-upped for myself, and then I sent a package to my in-laws. Like I was with my first shipment from Factor Meals, the in-laws were as excited to try one of the prepared restaurant quality meals. Well, they got the shipment to Protein Plus Meal Plan and were very impressed. See, being in their 80s, anything to make the meal prep easy is a plus for them. They heated the oven per instructions and minutes later were enjoying a very delicious, nutritious, and dietitian-approved meal. One big win for me. But what really floored them was the taste. Like I told you, it's surprising how good these meals taste. Restaurant quality indeed. And like my own shipment, it really was everything Factor Meals said it would be for some seniors. No prep, no mess meals. Factor Meals are 100% ready to heat and eat. Take it from me and my in-laws. Head to factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. That's factormeals.com/Pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. Thank you, Factor Meals.
All right, we're back. And speaking of the off the soundboards, Ace is wondering if now he's going to be able to release some kind of off the soundboard from like, I did this show in the 88th, Fraley's Comet, off the soundboard. I was off my rocker. That's what I'm going to start calling that series.
You on the front row, right in the middle of shoot you full of throw up. They had to carry me out to the back. I didn't know if I was puking or shitting myself. It was a fucking disaster. On that happy note, Tom.
Yeah.
So we had another episode planned. We had reached out a while back to talk to David Ellison. And somewhere along the line, they were like, hey, did you want to speak to David today? We're like, fuck, let's change it. And so not only were we lucky to get David Ellison to come on and talk with us yesterday, but by postponing and changing our episode, we got the Kiss news to come on to talk about that. So it's a win-win for everybody here. So, Tom, let's get to the episode right now in the interview.
All right. This week, we are thrilled to have a legend of thrash metal in the house tonight. One of the all-time great bass players in hard rock and heavy metal. And he's now touring with Overkill, but you know him from Megadeth. The great Dave Ellison joins us tonight. Dave, welcome to the show, buddy.
How are you guys? What's happening?
Awesome. Awesome. Welcome.
Yeah, this is a real honor, Dave. And the thing that really, I mean, I remember your music coming up, growing up as well, but your Kiss-dom during the end of the road, every, you know, we follow you on social media.
Sure.
That kept popping up for us. and so we're like, we got to get David on. We want to talk to him some Kiss stuff. Because we always find that all these awesome musicians, whether it's musicians, actors, stuff, if they get a chance to talk about Kiss, they feel like the kid that was growing up, and they get that release and that excitement to talk about it. And they don't really have that much of an option some other places. And it's a great spot to do it here in other Kiss podcasts. So thank you for that. But before we get into Kiss, let's talk about what's going on with you in your career right now.
Yeah, well, like was stated here, I'm filling in for D.D. Verney. He had a shoulder surgery, and he's not quite rehabbed yet to be able to play. And rather than cancel the tour and let everybody go make a living and do the South American tour, I'm going to fill in for him and help my brother out. And
awesome.
Which is super fun. Yeah, which is why I'm on limited time, because I'm like literally grinding through the tunes. Like
That's okay. That's okay.
I just got home from Europe from my Bass Warrior tour. And so a lot of songs in my head, you know.
Yep.
So,
yep.
And then after that, so that, look, that'll be all this month, April.
Yep.
You know, so that'll be that. I'll chill in May. Then June, we've got the Kings of Thrash, Summer awesome. Thrash Tour, USA.
Yep.
Then there's some stuff with Dieth for early July. We have KK's Priest show that we've announced in Poland.
Oh, wow.
We've got a couple of other things we're working on putting together right now around that. And then right after that, I'll go straight down to Australia, and we'll do more Kings of Thrash with the – and that'll be the Wake Up Australia.
Yeah.
Wake Up Dead, Wake Up Australia, because we're going to play Peace Cells in its entirety with Chris
Poland.
Yes, Poland.
I saw that.
Sweet. Awesome. Yeah. Awesome.
So people are stoked. And then there's a bunch of stuff after that. I just can't talk about it because we haven't announced it yet. So, yeah.
Okay.
Man, my calendar is just water, just the floodgates have opened. It's a beautiful.
Hey, when you go to Australia, awesome. You're not going to pull the stuff that Paul and Gene did and play the sharks, right?
Do what? What?
You don't know.
Oh, you don't. Oh, you don't remember that. Oh,
I mean, I know a lot about Kiss, but I don't know everything. You know, so fill me in. Give me some history.
About a couple of years ago, you know, during the end of the road skit, whatever was going on, there was a bit that they plugged themselves to go to Australia and do three songs on boats to play to like great white sharks or something. It is the most bizarre thing.
They had the speakers set up so when they play the music, it would like stimulate the sharks in the. I swear to God, Google it, Dave. We're not making this up. Well,
sharks like metal too, you know.
Exactly. I mean, exactly.
Even sharks are Kiss fans.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
So I can only imagine the pitch, and then at some point, Gene goes, "Well, how much?" Whereas the rest of the band is probably like, "What?" Yes, they play.
You know, Gene gets a bad rap about this money thing, but you know, look, the reality of it is. Is the brand is worth money, you know, and sure. it's, you know, he just said, hey, you know, instead of everyone else making the money off of us, because look, those guys, obviously, look, I have my Destroyer t-shirt on. We'll talk.
Yeah. About we're going to talk about that. Yeah.
Love the funny it. Thing Love is it. This is the album that got me into Kiss. And this is, I actually bought this when they were on, I guess it was the end of the road tour, but it was pre-COVID. So it's when they played here in Glendale, Arizona. And I brought the shirt home and I'm looking to see where's Glendale. And I realized the tour dates on the back are from the Destroyer and Rock and Roll Over tour, which ran right together.
Wow. Spirit of 76.
So I'm looking February 6th, 1977 is when I saw him in Met Center in Minneapolis on the Rock and Roll Over tour. And that's the tour dates on the back of this t-shirt.
Oh, nice.
So I feel like I got the tour t-shirt I never got when I was 13.
Right.
Now as an adult. But
that's
awesome. But, yeah, so I forgot where that was.
We were just talking about Gene. Listen, we wouldn't be doing like a podcast about Kiss all these years if we didn't have fun with it. That's why sometimes we get a little bit annoyed with some of our listeners and stuff that get too over the top with like Kiss. Kiss is fun. If it's not fun when you're talking about
and
Kiss.
And they've said as much, you know, I remember reading in Paul's book, which I have in the kitchen area, but you know, he said, you know, something to the effect that like, you know, they was kind of this old Hollywood mentality. Like they were never seen in public unless they were all done up. They look great. You know, none of this like, you know, modern day shit. Well, look, you know, obviously the tabloids, oh, there's so-and-so at Starbucks, you know, with their baby stroller looking normal. Like we don't want our stars to look normal. We want our stars to look like stars. And Kiss had that mindset. And look, you know, they've said it as, you know, the couple of people they had their grudges against, Bill Coyne after a while, like most of us do after many people have managed us for a while.
I know.
And then, of course, Bob Ezrin, you know, who really, I think, really hit him, worked him hard to make Destroyer. And like Paul said, he goes, look, as much as we bitch about that record, more songs from Destroyer are still in the set to this day than any other album. So it just goes to show how great it was. But oh, I know where I was going with that was, well, I had it and then I lost it.
So that's okay.
That's too much information moving too quick here. Sorry.
That's all right. Okay. Is that your favorite album?
Dude, I even have my Kiss Cola right
here. Oh, there you go. Kiss Cola with a K. That's Destroyer.
I got my Kiss Cola. I've got my picks. Of course, anybody could probably get these anywhere, but they're
nice. Nice.
Yep. And then I bought my, for my friend, Scott down at Asylum Records here in Mesa. That's who I went to the last show, that show with, where he bought the Paul Stanley Stage Smash guitar.
Oh,
and,
nice.
And so he had, dude, we were literally leaning on the stage. I mean, you could like, you know, if you reach, you could touch Gene's boot, you know, while he's singing. I mean, it was, and he's like, dude, get over here. And I'm like, I felt bad because, you know, like I've toured with Kiss. I've stood in those stages and it's always a pinch me, call home to mom moment. It's like, dude, I'm standing where Gene Simmons is going to be in an hour.
Yeah.
And, you know, and just professionally we've had our, you know, acquaintances, of course, you know, but so, I mean, you know, these fans have paid all this money and, you know, he just brought me, well, I guess because he bought the package, he got to bring two or three more people with him.
Yeah, right.
I was just plus two or plus three. So, I mean, I had a right to be there, I guess, because he brought me there. But, you know, I'm, you know, and for me, I was texting my friend Greg Hanover back in Minnesota. I go, dude, can you fucking believe this? Can you imagine that 13-year-old us, I'm in the pit touching the stage, like getting burned by the pyro, you know?
Yeah.
Was this the last show?
No, it was in California. It was
okay.
It was in that last month, though. It was
gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, because we.
So I just say my destroyer.
That's alive. You know,
or I guess my Kiss Alive lunchbox. Yes.
I have that, Dave. I have that exact same lunchbox. Do you? Love, yep.
I tell
yep.
you what, you don't have though.
Oh, here we go.
Well, look what? Inside. Oh, look! It has my Gene Simmons COVID mask.
Nice. Right?
Yeah, hopefully that. You won't wear that.
And then,
again.
Of course, it has the the coffee,
the thermos thing,
the thermos, yep. right? Yes. And then yep. one thing I got this as a bonus, and this is not Kiss related, but the soup Nazi lived out here for a while, or had a girlfriend out here, and I did a lot some Comic-Con horror cons with him, so I have some.
Oh wow, Nazi. That's we're huge Seinfeld fans too. That's amazing.
Oh yeah, totally. And he has ladles too that he has. He goes, "No soup for you," is what it says.
Oh, that's
no
amazing.
So oh, nice. I keep it in my Kiss lunchbox, because that way it's, you know.
Yeah, I definitely don't have that.
The bomb
Kiss
drops. This is my radiation package right here. Yeah. That and my Kiss cola, and I'm good to go.
Nice,
perfect, man. That's so amazing. Like, but you understand though that there are kids out there when they see you upstage are saying the same thing to their friends.
Yep.
I get it now. Yeah, I get yeah. it. And, yeah. and you know, look, you know, a fun moment. I remember in 91, we played, there's a company called Concrete Marketing, and record labels would hire them. You know, when we get signed to major labels, like they kind of know how to take it from the middle up to the top, mm-hmm. right? But from the middle down to the grassroots, that's what they don't deal with that, right? So mm-hmm. Concrete would always come in and work Metal Records, Megadeth, Pantera, you know, all of our stuff, White Zombie, whatever, right? And so they had a convention in, I think it was at the Sheraton LAX in LA. And we played, we just come home off tour and we played Go to Hell, which was our latest mm-hmm. single, kind of our mm-hmm. last single during the Rust in Peace cycle.
Yep.
And Gene and Paul, right after we performed and we went backstage, Gene and Paul gave us the award. I think it's here. Hang on a second.
Oh, wow.
I got it right here. Unfortunately, the tag fell off of it, but it's for the
oh,
best.
Oh, shit.
Best,
that's badass.
Best thrash band, right?
Yeah.
So I posted the picture on my socials. Cool. And so Gene and Paul gave us this. And I remember we did a little Q&A. And, you know, it was cool. The press was there, of course. And
yeah.
we did a little Q&A with us. And, you know, they were – this is no makeup years for kids. I remember Eric Singer was very – or Eric's car, rather.
Car.
Yep. He was very sick, and he was not well.
Yeah.
They asked Paul doing it. Paul. It was a tender moment because Paul was just like, he's not good, you know, and then he passed shortly thereafter. But, but you know, we remained pals. I mean, you know, it's funny because Gene asked us to be on the, Kiss My Ass album.
And, yes.
And he called, I remember the manager was asking us about it. And, Dave, you did have Junior talk to him. I was like, fuck, I'll talk to Gene all day long. So it was great because Kiss Alive 3 had come out.
Yeah.
So we just kind of bullshitted music business stuff, and it was cool. I mean, Gene was always, he's been nothing but just kind, like not even a big brother, kind of like a father, you know, kind of like Alice Cooper, you know, like a protective father figure, you know, and he really has been that. He's really got to know him well and, you know, talked to him quite a bit during that period. We ended up not doing it because,
right,
you know, they were looking to just kind of get, you know, some performances cheap, you know, put it on the record. And our shit was kind of too expensive. We were in kind of an expensive phase of our career and, you know, records cost, you know, we'd go into big studios and you know, they didn't have the budget for that kind of stuff. But
gotcha.
It was kind of fast and it was cool. You know, and then shortly thereafter, they put the makeup on and, by then we had moved here to Phoenix at that time. And I remember, so 96, Marty and I went to the reunion tour and we were second row because we know the general manager of the arena here. So he got us second row right in the middle. And, you know, me and Marty, of course, you know, now Marty and I are rock stars in our own right. Right.
Yep.
Because that was what, 96. So that I guess we were probably writing the Cryptic Writings album at that time. And so we're down in the front and, you know, now, you know, it's like now we know how the circus works. Right. We know
the
man behind the curtain of Oz. Right. We know. But there's the two of us just like total like fanboying out, like going, dude, this is so fucking rad, man.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I've seen that about him. He loves Kiss too on social media.
Oh,
the two of you guys are huge.
Well, Marty and I had this theory. there's two types of people. There's those that like Aerosmith and Zeppelin, which was Dave and Nick. And yep. then me and Marty, the other half, we like Kiss and Black Sabbath.
Right? Oh, so, wow. Okay.
Really?
So me and Marty were the Kiss and Black Sabbath guys, and Dave and Nick were the Zeppelin, you know, the
Smith
guys. Yeah.
But even
Dave,
him,
go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, David was saying, I've seen him like towards the end of the road. I think when Kiss was in Europe, did some stuff with him, some pictures and some with Paul and
that was probably shows we did with them at the time. Yeah, we did some shows in 2018. We finished and played Barcelona, Madrid.
Oh, this is end of the road tour. This is like the last.
Recently.
Yeah.
Dave had a great Hotter Than Hell t-shirt. I always like when people have like these one-off really awesome. He did have an awesome Hotter Than Hell t-shirt at one point.
Dave, one of the things I wanted to bring up, we were talking about Gene. And I'm always intrigued whenever we interview musicians or guys from bands that they're rock bands, but obviously Megadeth, you know, Overkill, they don't play the same music, obviously, as Kiss. But I always love to talk to musicians and talk about what they think about, like, you're a bass player. You're one of the absolute greatest in what you do in the metal, the thrash. Yep. Where does Gene fit in? When you look at Gene, because in our opinion, we've talked to other musicians that we've had on the show. They consider him like tremendously underrated.
Dude, and if there was a top 10 bass, I mean, even top five, he would be on it. And here's why.
Wow.
So like, it's funny because, right, I grew up with, you know, all of this, right? Kiss Alive, the costumes, the fans, the whole thing, right? And then it's so funny then, you know, when it's my turn up to bat, it's jeans and t-shirts. And we're like the everyman's, you know, more like AC/DC, right? The everyman, you know. We are like our audience. We're one, right? Whereas Kiss was very much, you know, the mortals and the gods, right? And you know, look, Gene, first of all, Gene's a great songwriter, you know? And I know he's done these camps, and he just goes right to, hey, this is what Beatles song I stole this from. And, you know, he's
very, I love when he does that. I love that. Yeah.
But you know, it's funny. Nick Menza's dad, Don Menza, is a very esteemed woodwind player, right? Saxophone and everything. Yeah, maybe like big time, you know, played with all the group jazz greats and everything. And, you know, he would always, and he didn't come up with it. It's a phrase. You know, the best composers don't borrow, they steal. You know? So, you know, Gene, he's on par with that. And listen, you know, it's funny. The other, we were just in Europe on a Bass Warrior show, and we were listening to some radio station. I think it was in Latvia, to be honest with you. I remember. And Andy, Martin, Jelly, and I were driving back to the hotel, and we heard Come On, Feel the Noise by Slade. And, you know, I know, you know, reading the books now that Paul, they loved Slade. They were into Slade. In fact, that's why they called it Kiss Alive, because it was Slade Alive.
Yes.
That's right. Yep.
But when you hear Come On, Feel the Noise, not the Quiet Ride version, but the Kiss or the Slade version, dude, that is exactly how Paul plays guitar. Like, he's got all these kind of movements in his chords. He's not just hitting power chords. I mean, he does that too, but he's got a lot of movement, and quite honestly, I find it very complex, and I can't figure it out. I mean, I'm an okay guitar player. I'm a pretty good rhythm guitar player, but his style, you know, for as big as a Kiss fan as I am, I never played any of their music because they were too hard to play. The songs were too complex.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't until like maybe the last 10 years, 15 years, maybe with Metal Allegiance and stuff, I started playing like Cold Gin and stuff like that. I mean, remember me and Bumblefoot on Shiprock, we played Detroit Rock City. But dude, those are hard songs to play. And you don't just jump in and, you know, like everyone can play Highway to Hell. Everyone can play, you know, there's some standards that just kind of everybody knows. Right. And
yeah,
but you know, Kiss tunes are complex, man. And because we are, all of us are such deep dive fans that if you don't fucking play it dead on, it's like, hey, you're not playing it right, you know.
Yeah, it's a good point. It's a good point.
That's so funny you say that.
Those guys from the residency down in Nashville, then Gene, and I think Gene and Ace have both plucked them to be their backing bands because
they're awesome. Ryan and Jeremy,
those fuckers, dude. They play that shit to the T.
Yeah,
you know, and it's just so dead on, man. So you know, it's funny. I remember we were in Santiago, Chile. We're at the hotel. I just went to the gym, I was literally like in a towel in a bathrobe, like dripping wet like a rat, running to the elevator, open the elevator, and Gene's there. I'm like, what are you doing here? You know? And of course he's all, you know, $1 million Gene, right? You know? But it was great. It was just a moment. It was like, oh, you know, he said, I'm doing the Gene Simmons band. And that's what he told me. He kept those guys and he said it was plug and play. Everybody tunes their own guitar, no text, just low key. And
Yep.
You know, so, you know, I get Gene because I am Gene, right? I mean, look, the Kiss tour no sooner ends and he puts on sale his own tour, right? And that's how I am, man. It's like something ends.
Non-stop. Workaholics.
Busy. Busy.
I'll tell you what, man. He wrote, have you read Frank Bello's book?
No.
Yeah, not- Frankie's. Yeah. Yeah.
If you have not read it, you need to read it. Not only is it a great story, and I got to know Frank's story when we were doing Altitudes and Attitude, but, man, there is a foreword by Gene in here. That I hit Joel MacGyver, who wrote co-wrote My Life with Death with me.
Yeah.
Yep.
I kind of steered Frank over to him to do this because he gets bass players and all this stuff. I hit Joel. I said, dude, how did you get Gene to write that forward? And he goes, I've interviewed the man a million times. I've never heard. He just sent that back. And I mean, wow. I was literally almost in tears reading it. It is a heartfelt.
Yep. Yeah,
I mean, it is, you know, he talks about his family and, you know, his dad not being there and, you know, which would explain a lot of his drive and, you know.
Yeah, that's Gene.
Jess and money. And,
yep.
You know, again, we kind of go back to these family of origin things with all of us and it kind of explains our drive or lack thereof. And, you know, and he talks about that. He goes, just keep playing to 100,000 people. You never have to stop and think about life. Just go, go, go.
That's true.
He fucking said that. And I mean, he hit the nail on the head and his story and Frank's story have such, they're such so synonymous. And I mean, and just those Anthrax guys are so funny, man. I mean, he talks about in the book, they used to go to the bill of coin office and basically, you know, harangue kisses. They were coming out of their business meetings. And he said, Gene would always stop and talk. And one of my favorite stories in this book is when Frank's got a buddy, I forgot his name, but like he was like, you know, he was ballsy. He would just go right up and talk to Kiss. And at one point they went to like, was it Electric Ladyland or something? They were mixing like Unmasked or something.
Yep.
And they snuck in the studio and they went up to the elevator. The door opens and there's the studio. There's Gene eating cookies, right? And Gene is walking in and Gene's like, Gene's like, what are you doing here? It's like, I don't come over to your house. Or he goes, how would you like it if I came over to your house uninvited? And Frank's friend goes, you can come over to my house anytime you want.
Yeah, exactly.
And then Gene goes, well, you guys want some cookies? You want to hear a song? And I guess he played them like a mix of Unmasked.
Oh, you know? Wow.
How fucking cool is that?
Yeah, these Anthrax guys, man, if you haven't had them on your podcast, they're
yeah, funny. Charlie's a good friend of the show. We'll have
we've had Charlie on.
Stories, yep. Yeah,
Frankie, we've talked to him. It's funny, all you musicians, there's a big like Kiss family of musicians that all share Kiss stories, whether it be like Zach Throne loves to tell us about Frank Bell's stories. Charlie, whether it's Chris Jericho, yourself, they're all like love the fact that no matter how big they are, whatever they got going on their careers, they're still like young Kiss fans when it comes to Kiss.
Yep. You know, look, there are Beatles, man. You know, and I always say this because, you know, I was on a rock and roll fantasy camp and it was with older musicians and I was the young guy and I'm the metal guy. And it's not my songbook, the stuff that they were playing, no Booker T and the MVs and all this Beatles stuff and all that. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I got screamed at a bit from Mark Hudson, you know, and he's like, kid, you need to get your rock and roll book up. And cause we were playing one song and I didn't know it. And so I look over and Bruce Kulick's like, give me the bass. I'll, you know, and so I gave him the bass. I'm like, fuck that. I don't know any of these songs. It's like that dream you have when you're on stage and you realize you don't know any of the songs and you're like, oh my god.
Oh,
so but you know, it's funny that we did a tour after and I really boned up on some Beatles stuff, you know, for Mark, you know, because Mark Hudson is my buddy and I didn't want to let him down and he was right. It's like, hey, if this is the tour, this is the gig, we're gonna throw these songs in the set, just, you know, tighten your chops up on these. So I did. But you know, I told him, I said, listen, man, I was born in 64. And that's, I think, the year the first Beatle record came out. And I missed them. You know, when I was a young boy, my mom had a Beatles single, I Want to Hold Your Hand. And I knew of the Beatles, but honestly, for me, Paul McCartney and Wings, that was what I heard on the radio, you know,
the '70s aspect of these.
Yeah.
Bands.
Sweet and Kiss and, you know, yep. Band on the Run, Shout It Out Loud. I mean, this is the stuff that I heard. So, you know, I'm not one of these, oh, the Beatles are the best band ever. It's like, that's not my story to me, mm-hmm. you know, and I'm not going to say Kiss is the greatest band ever, but I tell you what, just as far as an entertainment package and just making me want to fucking go play the bass and
yeah.
go be a rock star. I mean, that was it. I mean, I've told them that. I said, hey, you know, if it weren't for you guys, fucking none of us would be doing this shit, man. You know, I mean, look,
it's true.
The mic stand, you know, Led Zeppelin didn't have a drum riser. Suddenly Peter Criss did.
Yeah. Right? Amazing.
And back then, Ginger Baker, drums were on the floor, right? That's what it was. And finally Kiss comes along. It's like, fuck. And that, you know, everything's symmetrical with the amps on both sides. And it was just
From what I understand, you're a Peter fan too.
I am. I love Peter.
He's my favorite.
I saw a great video. I mean, look, you know what? It's just, and again, I can speak, you know, as a founder of Megadeth and, you know, the musicians we had in the band. In fact, that's why it was so hard to keep Nick Menz in the band, you know, when there are tensions with Dave. I was like, dude, we are not fucking splitting up the lineup. And eventually we had to, you know, we just had to make the change. But because as great as Jimmy DeGrasso is as a drummer, you know, it just, the sound changed, the feel changed, everything about it, changed, the visual. And I get it because as a Kiss fan, man, not only do you like the band as a whole, but everybody has their favorite members, you know?
Yep.
And when one guy goes, you know, he takes with him part of the fan base. He just does, you know?
Who's your favorite member?
You know, I can't say I have a favorite because I like all of them for everything that they do. You know, in fact, it was fun doing the Eddie Trunk thing back in December. Yep. I got to hang with Ace for a bit, you know? And
Hey, how you doing?
Ace played a solo on me and Frank's album on Altitudes and Attitude.
We were aware of that.
Kind of on a text thread, but it was nice just to break bread with him and hang. His wife was there, and you know, just kind of get to know everybody. And look, I love the new Ace album. I think.
Do you?
Yep.
I texted Steve Brown and said, "Brother, you knocked this out of the park, man. This is fucking amazing.
That's great.
Yeah,
super, super good." So look, I love Ace. Look, he's for sure my favorite solo album out of the four of them.
Uh-oh.
Paul would be second, Gene third, and Peter. It was a one listen, and I never heard of it again. It wasn't my thing, you know.
Give it another chance.
Well, it just wasn't my thing, you know. But
right,
Paul
right.
got some great songs.
Yeah.
But you know, again, I think you know, for Ace, as I read the story, Ace wanted an outlet, you know, and Gene held it. Like me with Nick Menza and Dave. It's like he held it back. Like, don't leave. I'm telling you, don't quit.
And
you know, and so they made the accommodation, and you know, the reality of it is Ace probably had more great songs ready to go because he'd been writing them over the years, and they never went on Kiss records. You know, Gene and Paul always
write
stuff on the records. Ace, not every Ace song he wrote ever got onto a Kiss record. So,
yeah,
you know, pound for pound, he for sure had the most, you know, the better quality tracks for sure. You know,
yeah.
So.
Dave, we wish we had more time with you because we're just getting started. We know your time is tight. And we want to respect that. We'd love to have you back and really just geek out over Kiss.
Yes.
But we appreciate you.
We appreciate you
squeezing us into your schedule. We really appreciate it. Again, great conversation. Good luck with Overkill. Good luck with Kings of Thrash. We'll have all of our listeners. We got tons of listeners that are into all that. So they're going to check it out. Great. Really appreciate Dave. Good luck with everything you have coming up, buddy.
Thanks, David.
Thank you. Bye. Thank you. Bye.
Tom, that was the great David Ellefson. What do you think?
Yeah, we love having guys on like that. You know, thrash metal guy. You know, you wouldn't think that he'd be a big Kiss nerd, but it was great talking to him. You know, we wish we had more time with him. He's got a busy schedule, so we took the 30 minutes that we could get with him and tried to get as much out of him. And we kind of let him roll and riff on the band that he loves. And it was great just geeking out with a friggin' legend and hearing a guy who comes from that type of music just gushing about a band like Kiss. We love hearing that. So it was a ton of fun.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. Look, I as listeners of the show, you guys know I'm not a big thrash guy, but I've always had respect for him. I enjoy when I hear him talk about music and things in general. The stuff that he was saying, and we've been blessed with the people we've had on the show lately. and they're articulate. They're funny. They're smart. Dave is a huge KISS fan. Huge.
Really, huge.
He was pointing shit out to us before we got on to talking about stuff. And, you know, he's geeking out, pulling out thermoses and shit from KISS. And he's talking and describing it himself, like telling friends, like his like 17-year-old friend, like, look at fucking, you know, look at me. I'm here at the front fucking row of a KISS concert. Like,
yep.
It's amazing. I'm like, yeah, buddy, I'm sure people doing that to you too, which makes you understand that all these musicians, comedians, guests, actors, wrestlers, people that we get on the show, they find this fucking release for KISS that they don't find elsewhere. And they love to talk KISS.
Yep.
And it's a great release for him. I bet you he'd be bored out of his mind. I mean, bringing up the same old shit that probably every interviewer. So tell us about when you had the fallout with Dave Mustaine in 2008. Right. Blah, 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 blah. Like, just, dude, we don't want to do that. We don't want to do it with Skid Row. We don't want to do that with him. This is the part of the KISS podcast.
That's right.
That we want to geek out and take as much fun with him as we could.
That's right. Yep. Great stuff. Loved having him.
Yeah. So we hope you like that. And what we do next is we go to question of the week.
Question of the week is brought to everybody by the Hall of Famer, the great Tony the Taxman Barone. You got not a lot of time left, people, to get your taxes done. So if you haven't reached out to Tony by now, you might be in trouble. But we did. He took care of us this year and last year with our taxes, telling you he's the best. ABCPAinc.com. Take care of all your individual tax needs, your business tax needs, and so much more. Go to his website. Click on the links. You see all the services that he offers. He's available to take care of you in all 50 states. There's links there to call him, send him messages, and again, to research all the things that he can do for you. We love Tony. He's the man. Tony the Taxman Barone at abcpainc.com. And our question of the week comes from David Clark. Now that the end of the road tour is over and you've had some time to process it all, although impossible to predict, which of these do you think would have been the best quote-unquote ending for KISS to have cemented its place amongst the greatest? This is multiple choice. Do you think they should have ended after Creatures? Do you think they should have continued to release and promote Carnival of Souls and continue with that lineup? Should they have ended with the band after the reunion tour in Psycho Circus, or do what they did with the end of the road as we saw it?
Tom, you know me, I'll always take more. Continue. Why would I want them to end early? So again, I tell you people this all the time. Oh, Hot in the Shade had too many songs. Okay, great. Which songs you want off? I want that song. You don't want right. that song. Let me choose. So if you don't want them to continue because Creatures, then after the reunion or after Cycle Circuit, well, I still think shit happened afterwards. They weren't going to continue with the way Ace and Peter after Cycle Circus. That shit wasn't happening. That's not a reality. So the reality is what ended up happening was they continued to perform and they had four members. And because of those four members, because it wasn't going to happen with the other two members there, we were able to see many, many years more of KISS. I will take that any day.
Okay. My answer is kind of a combination here because you didn't specifically give me this option, but my answer would have been do the reunion, get rid of Ace and Peter, take the makeup off, and go back to Bruce and Eric and continue with that lineup, making hard rock records and see where the band goes into the 90s and the 2000s. Now, again, like Zeus, that would have robbed us of, you know, 30 years of makeup tours and, you know, the same set list and the end of the road. I get that. But I absolutely love the Eric Singer and Bruce Kulick lineup, and I wish I got more of that. So I absolutely don't think they should have ended after Creatures. But like Zeus said, you know, more is always good. Like you always say, let me decide what's good for me and what's not. Don't take it away from me. But I do love that Carnival of Souls Revenge Era lineup. I wish we did get more of that. So great question, David. Thanks for contributing, buddy. Always appreciate it.
Yeah, Tom, tell people where they can find us.
Go to our website. That's where you can find everything. ShoutItOutLoudcast.com. You can find all of our episodes there and listen to them right from the website if you want. Shout Out Loudcast, Dorm Damage, Album Review Crew, Zeppelin Chronicles. You can comment directly on episodes right there. Check out all of our rankings Everything is there. Links to our Patreon, links to our social media, links to our Shout It Out Loudcast merch, our Amazon shopping links. Everything is there. You can also take a look at all the friends of the shows, all the people that we've had on that we've been lucky and blessed enough to have, and check out their links for what they have. Great stuff. It's the best place to go. And you can always send us an email at shoutitoutloudcast@gmail.com. If you want your question of the week to be read on the show, email's the best way to do it. We put them in a folder and we pick one out of the hat every week. And David got his picked out of the hat this week. So please continue to do that. shoutitoutloudcast@gmail.com. And of course, our social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, trying to get a little bit more active on TikTok. You guys seem to enjoy that, which is cool. And of course, we always like to say that we are a proud member of the Pantheon Podcast Network of shows.
Yeah, Tom, people always DM us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. We've got our Threads account going, TikTok. Tom has done our Spotify playlist too for our episodes. And if you want to find our playlists on Spotify, you got to go to the profile, not the podcast page. Click on the actual icon and then go to profile and you'll see all our playlists there for you. Please subscribe to our YouTube page. We always enjoy those. And then give us one of those 5-star child reviews on Apple Podcasts. And when you do that, we will give you a shout out and really appreciate that. So thank you for those. I always like to repeat the email, shoutitoutloudcast@gmail.com, shoutitoutloudcast@gmail.com, and the website, shoutitoutloudcast.com, shoutitoutloudcast.com, where you can get all our merch, our Amazon store, where you can pick up all sorts of new goodies there and see our friends and see our Loudcasters page. If you have a picture of you wearing Loudcasters gear, please send it to us and give us the permission to put it on our website. We will do that. And thank you to all the Loudcasters out there. And Tom, what we like to do next is we like to end on famous last words. Do you have any?
I didn't want to have to get away. I told her things I didn't want to say. I need her, and I hope she'll understand.
Yeah.
Just call me a 3-time loser. That's all I'll ever be. 'Cause my baby's such a 2-timer. You know, she's a 2-timing. She's a 2-timing me. Dave Ellison, Tom Loudcasters, Kiss Army, thank you.
David Ellison, a thrill to have you on. Thank you so much. Loudcasters, Patreons, you guys all rock. Thank you so much for everything. Zeus, as always, my friend, thank you.
Peace out, Girl Scout. Hit the music. What I'd like now is for all you fat, out of shape, worldwide kiss-tards to keep the noise down while I show your ladies what a real sexy man looks like.
Listen, all you people out there sitting on rented furniture, settle down.
Cut the music. Anybody seen Richie? Anybody know why Richie did Bobby Lupo?
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.